We started last week in our teaching here on which I entitled Creation, Judgment, Redemption, and Perfection. And you'll understand the title more as we go through as in our teaching in this on these things. One of the things that we're beginning is looking in the areas of concerning creation. We're looking at why things were like they were in the beginning and why things turned out. What's looking at things of God's plan and purpose. We started last week, we were looking into what the scriptures said, dealing with Jesus as being, many times, you know, when the church or Christianity thinks about Jesus, we think about the starting off a baby in a manger, and that isn't where it started off. Jesus pre-existed. Jesus didn't come to life in a manger. Jesus pre-existed. He was God before that baby was no more. That baby that was in the manger, that was a house that God lived in. And that was the God who always existed. He always existed. It didn't start then. And so we looked at scriptures, and we're not going to go back all through those scriptures, but I want to read to you because really was our introduction. Scripture last week is so important because Jesus makes this statement. Because when we look back into creation and things that were said, because there's things throughout the Bible that are talk about creation, which we're going to eventually we'll look at. One of the things that Jesus said in John the 5th chapter, and in verses 46 and 47, he made this statement. He said, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." Verse 47, "But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" We need to understand the importance of this is the fact that Jesus Christ verified that the Pentateuch, which was written by Moses, which was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and also Deuteronomy, those things were written in the Pentateuch, that those writings, he just verified that those writings are correct. So when somebody comes along, and there are ministries today, there's even people among the Spirit-filled now, you know, that, well, you know, creation isn't like the Bible said. Well, if it's not, then Jesus Christ is a liar. And if he's a liar, there is no salvation. We need to understand this today. You know, we pull the scripture out in the New Testament where it talks about Satan. It says his ministers, you know, appear as an angel of light. And people say, well, Satan can appear as an angel of light. The scripture don't say that. It says his ministers. Satan has ministers in the earth, and they are in churches. They are in the body of Christ. Jesus said there's false teachers and things out there. This is going on today. We have people claiming Christianity. Understand, the devil don't come along and say, oh, the Bible's all wrong. Well, you'd know. You wouldn't believe a thing he'd say then. He always comes along. When Jesus was tempted by the devil with Scripture. But it was used out of context. He did something. And this is why, is knowing the Word of God. Jesus verified that what Moses said, was true. So if anybody has a discrepancy and says about it's different, I know to turn the switch off and not listen to them. You need to learn to do that. You know, people we have out here today, there's so much said about things and stuff going on. And so the verification, Jesus verified him. In other words, Jesus said, you know, you had to believe Moses and believe him. In other words, or to believe him is to believe Moses. You can't throw one of them out and say they're not so. So we need to understand the importance of that when we look at Scripture and look into it. So you can't believe what Jesus said and doubt what Moses said about creation. I want to read to you something that's really good from a quotation. And I've used this before in some teaching I did in time past along these lines, but there's a lot of other things we're going to go into this time. But the quotation from the Spirit-filled Life Bible was really good. That they make a statement here that I thought is really pertinent concerning as a Christian in the study of the Word. They said Genesis immediately brings into question many secular worldviews. So serious Genesis students must become accustomed to thinking differently. Said we must perceive the world and its history as the ancient biblical authors reveal it. He said, for example, the narratives of chapters 1 through 3 are not to be understood allegorically, but as actual history. The word of God must always stand above the word of man. We are not to judge his word, but rather it judges us. Therefore, ancient Hebrews should not be thought of as primitive simply because they relate reality differently. Rationalized Greek thinking about world realities may be our heritage, but it is not always true. And we need to understand this. You know, one of the things that I have learned over the years, and really the New Testament deals with it, is the Paul wrote, said that God didn't choose many wise. And there's a very hard thing that to do. There's people, and you need to understand this, I even see people do it in Christianity. Education, whether it's in the scriptures or whatever it is, you have to keep yourself to the place where you're humble, where you sit down and look at the Word of God's true. The Word of God don't become true because you figured it out and you believe that it's true. It meets your standard of something. This is why, as one thing as I learned, and I think is one of the things that helped me immensely as a young Christian starting off as walking in faith, is I was started off as a Christian, I was around all these older Christians, and they could really do nothing with their faith. I was just totally amazed. These people had been Christians 20, 30, 40 years. And I'd been Christian 6 months. And they could hardly believe God for a thing. And when you did believe God and you started, they thought it was some kind of heresy or weird. But well, the whole thing of it was, is their reasoning. And this is one of the things. You get people who reason are trying to figure out, I'm going to believe the word when I can figure it out. That isn't how it works. Faith doesn't work that way. Faith believes what God's word says, whether I understand it or not. Whether I don't have to figure it out. I want you to understand this. You will never figure out the word of God for faith to work. Faith doesn't work from the mental. It doesn't work from that place. It's not from there. And so you don't have to understand the Bible to get it to work. I don't have to know everything about my car to go out and start it and drive off with it. I get to enjoy the car whether I know how to fix it or not. And see, but that's not Christian. Christians are always trying to be intellectuals. And it's why is the diminishing of faith. We're trying to figure out. We're trying to understand. You know, I didn't understand healing. And understand, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. If you have to see and you have to figure it out. If you have to, you're already in the wrong ballpark. You're playing the wrong game. You're not in a place of faith, and faith won't work for you. It isn't about reasoning. You know, if God said the sun's purple, then the sun's purple. That's it. That's faith. Well, say it don't look purple to me. I don't care. I'm not going to figure out why God said that. I don't have to. My faith works on the basis that the word's true. And see, intellectualism is what is destroying the church in America. Because everybody wants to figure, well, when I figure this out, then we'll believe in that stuff. Forget your believing. Just go home. It don't matter. It's not going to work. That isn't how it works. It's if the Bible says something, it's true, then therefore it's true. God's right, it's wrong. If I say anything different, I'm wrong. That's just the way it is. But see, people today, they have this idea, this reasoning. And this is one thing is, I have nothing against education. Thank God. Education has brought so many blessings into the development of so many things that we're blessed with, you know. I've been in other countries. I've been in places seeing how people live and do. It's number one, I don't feel bad. Like, I see people go, they feel bad in America. We live good. I don't feel bad that I live good. I don't feel bad about that at all. You know, my words, those same people, Christians, oh, I just hate the way we have and they don't have anything. You're going to hate heaven. You know, you're just going to hate it in heaven because you'll have everything will be absolutely wonderful and glorious. You're going to hate it there. We don't, but what happens is people get over into their reasoning areas. They start thinking education has brought us all kind of things, but you have to learn to divide between what is in the natural realm and how the spirit realm works. You have to learn how to divide it. If you don't do that, you have to understand in the areas of faith. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what science tells me. If the Bible tells me certain things a certain way, it's that way. It doesn't matter to me, science. I've learned this over the years about science. They don't know nearly what they say they do, because I can prove it through my educational years. What they taught me in science when I was a kid in school, ain't none of it the way it is today. It's all been changed, and they told me it was all the truth. And ain't none of it. My God! You know, they even told us, you know, we were going to be flying around in cars, and our cars were going to fly, and all that kind of stuff, and all these things we're going to do, and well, it ain't happening, and I'll tell you what. And what I know of people today, they can't drive on the road, don't let them fly. Dear God, don't let them fly, they'll kill us all. You know, but getting over the areas, and this is one thing, is coming to place, sitting down with the Word of God, and getting yourself, is the Word true? That's a decision you have to make. If somebody, you know, we teach we can explain things concerning Scripture, but you have to decide whether the Bible's true for you or not. That's, you decide that. You decide whether the Word's true. And so, taking the Word. We rightly divide, it's called the Word of Truth, but it is for your spirit. Your spirit is where revelation comes, not your mind. You know, faith is of the heart, it's not of the mind. Words spoken from your mouth, from your head, don't produce anything. Not by faith, it won't produce a thing. Faith's of the heart. What a man believes in his heart and says with his mouth will come to pass. So it don't matter how intellectual you get in your mind and how you figured out you think God's Word works. Faith's of the heart. And this is one thing, it'll work every time. If you believe in your heart and you don't doubt and you say with your mouth, it will come to pass. If it don't come to pass, you got a block somewhere, something's wrong. And see, we have to come to that. I realized over time, if it wasn't working, it's never God, never His Word. Ed's messed up somewhere and Ed needs to correct it. It's never God. It's me. And you got to come to that thing. When you find out that you don't know everything, that would be a great thing would happen to you. When you come to the place, hey, this isn't working. It's never God. God's Word is always accurate. It always works. So either it's something I don't know about the Word, or something I'm not believing about the Word, or I'm believing wrong. Many times people believe wrong about things. They don't stop and take time. So do that. Sit down as the Word's true. If you want revelation from the Word and God to reveal the Word to you, you got to be a person who simply accept the Word as being true. You know, if you want to go through the things of intellectually figuring things out, that's why a lot of people struggle in the areas of faith, because they're trying to figure it out. When I get this all figured out, I'm going to do it. I learned to do faith things when I didn't really know a whole lot about how intellectually anything, and even from the scripturally, a lot of the things I didn't understand. But I knew if I believed something in my heart and said it would come to pass, I would just go ahead and do it. I didn't need 47 more teachings. Once I knew it was true, I didn't need 47 more teachings to try to get it to work. Once you know it's true, start working it. You know, do something with it. And I'm saying, you're going to find out. It is amazing its simplicity and what it does. Now, we're going to look back into Genesis, the first chapter. I want to read the scripture because it makes the statement in Genesis 1 in the first chapter. In verse 1 says, in the beginning, says God created the heavens and the earth. And the word created is talking about created. The word means to form or fashion, to produce or create. Originally, you know, in its verb carried the idea of carving or cutting. In Joshua, it was used in chapter 17, verse 18. It was used there speaking about clearing trees off of land and that stuff. But it's used concerning in creation and dealing with either from the standpoint of can be talking about creating, which brings something into existence, but it's also the idea of taking matter, something that already exists, and forming it into something else, doing it. And that there goes with God created man. God created the human body, was created from the dust of the earth. God formed that. The creation was that, was formed of God, and that was the creation itself. God's always the subject of the verb form of the word. It's the Hebrew word's bara. And in its standard form, creating is always tied to God. Therefore, you look at it from a standpoint, we're dealing with divine capacity. This is what we need to understand. This is so important because this deals with the area of faith. See, faith is you believe what the Word of God says. God tells you or promises you something. You believe the Word and God makes it for you. See, he's the creator. See, it's like we look at Mark 11:24 that says, you know, whatever thing you desire when you pray, you believe you receive it and then you'll have it. Well, we can't do the you'll have it part. That's God's part. What we do is we tell God what we want and we believe we receive it at the time and he forms it or brings it into existence. He's the creator. He does that. That's his job. See, you're not the creator. And understand that. I'm not the creator. My job is to believe him to create whatever it is or bring to pass whatever it is that I want. That's what I do. And that's what you're supposed to do. You take the word of what God says, and so you believe what the word says, you act on what the word says, and God will bring it to pass. He's the creator one. And it's wonderful. When I found out, when I was a young Christian, it wasn't my job to make it happen. That took the big burden off of me. Most Christians have the role reversed. They try to make it happen, and they're trying to get God to do something else. He doesn't. He's the guy that makes it happen. I don't have to. I don't have to make it happen. Praise God. I'm glad I don't have to be the creator. There already is one. What we're doing is trusting in him. Now, we want to look at something because of creation. I want to deal with part of the subject here. I want to go to Matthew to the 13th chapter. We want to read some things here because there's things in Scripture that talk about the foundation, dealing with from the foundation of the world, also things that are said before the foundation of the world. Those statements are made. And then we're going to look at Matthew 13. We're going to look at some of these scriptures because it's important for us to understand some things. Because if we're going to deal with creation, we look at our creation, and most people are just really confused about creation because, you know, people have questions in mind. I know as a little boy in church, I had questions, but I found out this. You're never allowed to ask them because there's certain things they don't want to touch. When you ask questions like, well, why did God let Satan do this? Or why did God? No, they don't want to touch that. You know, you just stay away from these. We don't deal with these things. And then I found this is after I got to be a Christian, began to study the Bible, I started to realize most Christians have no idea what's going on. They don't have a clue. They don't understand why Satan and what all is going on or what's happening. They have no scriptural basis for it because the church has a way of believing differently than Scripture teaches. And what is one of the things that I found out, the more that I got revelation of what the Scripture said, the more these answers to things that you start to see, because the Bible tells us God has a plan, but you know, it's hard to understand God's plan when you have this little spot that you are only taught and live in, is this place is where the church lives. And the plan's this big, but you only are allowed to look at this little part. God designed it, we could look and see what his whole plan was from the beginning. But the church don't do that. The church has their little spot that they picked. And so you ask questions outside of that spot and you're like, you know, sit down, shut up, be quiet. Don't ask that question. I asked questions already and my parents thought, you're a heretic. When I found out, the reason they got upset at me is because of their ignorance. They're bad people, they're good people. But you don't touch things you don't ask God. You never ask God certain things, you know. Well, how are you ever going to learn if you don't ask? That's one thing as I find is I read the Word and I look at the Word and sometimes the Word gives me questions because I sit down and I'm, well, you know, okay, now I have to deal with this. Well, what about this that I have to deal with? I don't know anything about it. I need to understand it. So I've always been curious about things. I like to learn. I just don't accept because somebody says, well, this is this way. Well, I like to know sometimes why. What happened? What caused this to take place? I like to know. What's going on? And that's why, you know, last week I talked about the fact that I was just a newborn Christian and that stuff, but I asked God a question and I had a vision, which was really, at that time was the first vision I ever had. And I had a vision, and in that vision I saw the earth before creation. I saw what was going on, and I saw that God showed me, and then the Lord spoke to me. And one of the things he said to me, he said, man is the key to put sin away forever. He said, man's my key. Another, the church doesn't really understand their place in God's plan and what God was doing. And we want to look at these because these scriptures deal with the foundation. Now, in Matthew 13:35 says this, concerning dealing with Christ, it said that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Now, we want to look at this because it makes a statement from the foundation of the world. I had said last week, and we're going to look into, because our creation that we know or we see today from the Scripture, and we talk about, people talk creation. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us when the earth itself was formed. The earth was already sitting there in our creation. It doesn't say, there's no Scripture says where the water came from. God didn't say, let there be water. God didn't say, let there be earth. He didn't say that. Not one. That already was sitting there. It said in the beginning, so there was a beginning of something. What was that there? We're going to go on to look at that. But we want to see, here it talks about the foundation of the world. Now this word foundation I found was very interesting, because the word foundation is okay, but it has this idea of conception or conceiving. In other words, if we would take like a child, we talk like a child being born. A child being born is not the conception or the conceiving. The conception and conceiving and that child's development is in an unseen realm. It's not seen. Then one day, ba-da, into the seen realm. It goes from a fat belly to, there's the baby, wah! And there it is. Now that takes place, but there's a conception. In other words, there's an idea in this, in the foundation of the world, because you need to understand this. The Lord spoke to me about this a few months ago and brought this to my attention, because in studying these things, I never really got in concerning this word, and this word itself. And the Lord told me to go look that up. He does that a lot to me. A lot of times when I study the Bible, he'll say, go look this word up. Or he'll say a scripture to me and he'll say, go look up this word in that scripture. And when I go look up that word and find out the meaning of it, I think, oh my God, we haven't been really teaching it in the light of what it means. Don't ever consider that you know something said because you can read. Most people read and don't even know what words they say mean. Today, I find out there's a lot of things in Scripture, words that are used in the Bible, people don't even have an idea what it means. They have their own idea religiously, but really don't know what the actual Scripture, what is that actual word, what's the definition of the word? What am I supposed to... See, if you don't know the words that are being said and what they mean, there's a little hard time God's going to have bringing revelation to you. This is what I've learned, is always have a good dictionary, and you know, especially today it's nice because you can go, I can go online and stuff, and I can look up a word and I can go through and look into Hebrew and stuff and things and find out, read a lot of things of how it was used in context, of how they used it in their culture, which is understand this, the Bible's not an American book. It's an Eastern book. And it's based on Eastern culture. For things you don't know about the Eastern, most Christians is they have a hard time because they read what Jesus said in the light of American culture. Have no clue what Jesus is talking about. See, there's things you have to. That's why you have to study to show yourself approved. You know, find out things. You know, look at stuff. It's hugely helpful because you get an idea. You find out some things are not, because we take them in our American culture. Really, it doesn't have a good meaning in our culture because we don't have anything like it. And so you have to find out how it's used. And so we do that. But taking this word, so in other words, these words dealing with foundation, we're talking about God conceiving something. And then He's going to turn around and bring this thing into being, but it's a conception. And so He's going to bring it in. Now, this foundation, because we find here in Matthew 25, if you turn to Matthew 25, you'll see again this word, these words used. Again, it says in Matthew 25 and verse 34 says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now I want you to start to get a picture here in this, because I'm going to read you some other scriptures that have the end, because there's no, and I'm not going to go through all the scriptures that have, there's loads of scriptures that use this terminology. But I've never heard anybody ever teach concerning this. I've never heard anybody teach on it, so I don't know if anybody's book it or anybody thinks. Because what we're dealing with here is God who knows everything. And I want you to get this, get it in. And we talked about it some last week. God knows everything. God He is a pre-existent one. There's not time. Understand this about the realm of the Spirit. The realm of the Spirit, there is no time. Time is what Einstein figured out with Einstein's relativity. He found this out, and he was right. Time is relevant to where you are. So wherever you are in this universe, time to you is relevant to where you're at in this natural realm. Well, in the spirit realm, there is no time. There is not. There is not time. Time deals with us. God deals with us as time. That's why the Bible says, you know, with God, a thousand years is a day. He's trying to give some relevance to us concerning timing. In other words, saying, God, 1,000 years go past, ain't no big deal. That was one day. Different people I've heard say this. They got called up to heaven, and they talked to people there who had been there for over 1,000 years. And they said, how long have you been here? Oh, a few days. See, time's not... time's not relevant to them. They're living in the eternal realm. Time has no meaning. Time has meaning to us here in this realm. Also, there is no distance in the spirit realm. Figure that one out. There's not distance. If there was distance, how could God be everywhere? He couldn't be. There is no distance. First time I heard talked about it, Kenneth Hagin talked about a situation where the Lord spoke to him, and this I heard years ago. He said, spoke to him about a person who was causing a lot of havoc and problems, you know, concerning a minister and his family. And the person was yielding to demonic powers. And anyhow, the Lord said to him, he was thousands of miles away from where this individual was. And the Lord said, you command that spirit to stop and bind that spirit from operating through that individual. And he said, oh, I'm way here. they're way far away from me, you know. And the Lord said to him, there's no distance in the spirit realm. I remember the first time hearing that. Well, you start to understand. See, we get in our minds about things because we deal. Like to us, we sit and think and look in the natural realm and people talk about, oh, there's a star out there that's 2 billion light years away. And we just like, oh, wow, that's just incredible. But we don't realize there's an unseen realm. And that unseen realm is the realm that created this realm. This is a temporal realm that you live in. What you look out here and see the stars and all, that's all temporal. This earth is all temporal. It's not going to be here one day. All of it's going to go. It's in decay. It's not in perfection. That's why this is the ending part we'll talk about perfect. There's a time of perfection coming, and that's not in this earth. There is no, in this earth, we don't know perfection. And this earth is not going to ever going to be perfect. It's not going to be. Just like your body. Your body's tied to this earth. The earth's falling apart. Go look in the mirror. You ain't as cute as you were. Well, that's life, you know? Why? We're in this thing. But we're looking for the new body, the glorified body. There is going to be a uniting of the spirit and the natural where both will be perfected and operating together. Right now, they're not. And so we live over here. Inside, our spirits may be born again and eternal, but our bodies are not. Our bodies aren't. And also the earth we live in are not. But there is a foundation of the world. And dealing with this foundation, we're dealing with this God who knows everything. This God, this one who always existed. And he knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. He knows everything about everybody. Now this God, we find these statements from the foundation of the world. To inherit a kingdom, this kingdom that you're going to inherit, that he talks here to inherit, is a kingdom that God decided they were going to inherit from the foundation of the world. It wasn't something decided after a while, some time later. But if from the foundation of the world, this was already set, that this would take place. See, what we deal with is just like we deal with the Messiah coming, with Christ coming into the earth. We deal with the time period he came. But the Bible tells us, and we'll read scriptures, he was before the foundation of the world he was sent. So in the mind of God, God considered it completed. And it's interesting as we go along to understand these things. Because in Hebrews the 4th chapter and verse 3, it says about this. It says in 4:3. Now we're going to be reading this. Actually, this is talking about faith. This is a part, if you went down and read the chapter, you'd find it's talking about Israel. They didn't enter into God's rest or by faith. In other words, they didn't get to go into the land of Canaan because they wouldn't believe God. They wouldn't operate in faith. He said in verse 3, he says, "For we who have believed do enter into rest." In other words, believing to God, believing is entering into rest. If you're still struggling, you're not in faith. You're entering into rest. Well, listen, he says, entering. "As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although..." Now listen, he said, now they're not going to enter my rest. "Although what?" He said, "the works were finished from the foundation of the world." In other words, God's plan and what he had already said. He had already said, from the foundation of the world, it was already set for them to go into that land. From the foundation of the world. That didn't happen one day when they come out of Egypt and God's going to take them. It didn't happen the day when God called Abraham and Abraham decided to go over that land. All of that stuff God had already planned from, but we need to understand this, before the foundation of the world. If he didn't know he was going to have to do that, he wasn't God. He couldn't be all-knowing, could he? Could he be all-knowing and didn't know he was going to have to do that? And see, you need to get this. Number one, if you realize the God you're dealing with, you'll start having faith. Most Christians view God as like a person. And he's taught as being just a regular person. That a problem comes along and he tries to figure out a way to fix it for you. No, he doesn't. The fix has been in before the earth was ever created. Your problem you're dealing with today, God knew 10 trillion years ago you were going to deal with that. And if you understand that and it finally dawns on you, and that BB rolling around up there, if it dawns on you, you stop a lot of worrying about things and everything else. It's easy to trust God. He knows about it. You know, when I pray and ask God for something, he ain't surprised. He knew. He knew what I was going to ask. He knows. He isn't like, "Oh, now I got to do something." He's already planned for the answer. He already had planned before at the foundation of the earth, he had already planned for Israel to go into that land, and they refused to do it. He had already planned for them to go. And they wouldn't. He had the plan all set for them. They said, "No, we ain't going to trust you." Now, the next generation trusted him and went in the land. But that was planned by God. He didn't try to do that. He wasn't surprised. He had planned for them to do it. They chose not to. He knew they would. Didn't move him at all. And understand this. God has a plan. And this is why. When the Bible says God changes not, God can't change course. He's already planned. He already knows. And this is our security of faith, folks. This is where our security of faith comes from, is the fact. We're not running into situations and God said, "Oh, okay, now we've got to get this fixed and we got to do it." It's not... heaven already has the system running. Heaven knows what's going on and what's happening. It knows your need. He knows whether you're going to respond to him in faith or not. He knows whether you're going to. He has the fix in for you, but will you take it? That has to do with us. It doesn't have to do with him. Whether I receive it or not has nothing to do with God. It's whether I receive it. It's whether I stop and say, "Okay, I'm going to take a hold of this. I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do." So, getting a hold of this. Now, in the book of Revelation talks about and says this in Revelation 13 and verse 8. Revelation 13:8 speaks about this, about the people who follow the Antichrist. Because we find out here's the God knowing what's going on. I mean, see, the book of Revelation is not some strange thing. God, is going to sometime do these things. This stuff is Listen to what it says. In verse 8 of chapter 13 says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. This is the dragon. This is Satan. Whose name has not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This is God. God knew from the foundation of the world the people who would follow the Antichrist. He didn't choose it for them. He just knew they wouldn't follow him. He knew that they were going to follow. And see, this leaves questions in people. People say, well, why? Why did God create people? Well, we're going to talk about these things. And I said this last week. One thing you need to understand about God, God never creates robots. We look at the angels. I remember I was told as a kid, we used to say, oh, no, angels, they have no choice. They have to follow God. No, they have choice. My God, Lucifer wouldn't have fell if angels couldn't have a choice. Angels can have a choice whether they obey God or not. They have that choice. Now, we need to understand we're dealing with Lucifer and his fall. God, even in his creation of his angels around him, gave them free will to whether or not they would follow him. See, and this is one thing is you need to understand. See, most people, and this is why, is the false teaching of God in control of everything. God, you know, they have this idea, God just makes things out the way he wants them to be. No, he don't. When it comes to his creation, and especially anything that's got a brain, supposed to anyhow, he gives them free will. They have that choice of whether or not they can serve him or not serve him. That is a standard from before the foundation of the world. That's how God creates beings. God does not create beings that they must follow him. He doesn't create beings. People do that by free will. And so, praise God. See, these things you have to understand. If you don't, you get on. That's why God's in control of everything. That's why the majority of churches and most Bible schools, whether in America or in the world, they teach Calvinism. And Calvinism is basically this. God's in control and this is going to happen. That's going to happen because God, you know, he chooses this and that. And that's where it's Calvinism. Calvin, you know, he sat down and looked at the things and, you know, God's taking care of everything and he knows he's chosen who's going to accept him and who's not. And what they come down to, some can be saved and some can't. Well, you don't want to go up that thing. In other words, it's God's not willing that any should perish, I thought. Well, according to Calvinism, and most Christians, I was raised in a church that was Calvinistic, and their ideas about things was the fact that, you know, dealing with like this, that, you know, God was choosing things and God was deciding stuff and, you know, with people, and they looked at the fact, you know, the heathen out there, that's the way they are, and God's just going to leave them out there to that, and this is what they were dividing up and that kind of stuff. No, everybody has a choice. Everybody gets a choice. And so, what would be the point of going into the world preaching the gospel? What is the point of that? If people are just going to follow God or not follow God, why even pray? Why even do anything? I can understand why the church is so dead, is because it just sits back and, well, God, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. Well, it doesn't work that way. Now, we found these things because these are things that God has set in motion. In other words, from the foundation of the world, God knew that these people's names would not be in the book of life. He knew it. See, God doesn't know it. He knows it all. He knows it. He didn't decide it. He knows it. But understand this. This was known before the foundation of the world. Back at the foundation of the world. Now listen, we're going to go over and we'll look at this because back over in the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John in 17, Jesus is praying concerning his Father. And in John 17, we have what they call, the people call the Lord's Prayer. Really, in John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. If you sit down and read through it, it's a prayer that Jesus prayed concerning the church. And he prayed for believers. The actual, what we call the Lord's Prayer, was not prayed for the church. There was nobody born again or anything at the time. This is right before he's praying for his disciples because he's getting ready to go to the cross. And he's praying for them concerning their believing in him and things. But anyhow, out of here, in verse 24 of John 17, it says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. before, now here he says this was before the foundation. In other words, Jesus' pre-existence. His pre-existence before the foundation of the world. So there's things that are before the foundation. In other words, this thing has already happened. He wants the believers of the day to see the glory that he had. Why would he want us to see that glory if we couldn't have none of it? You know, keep it to yourself. Who cares? I can't have it. I ain't got the time to be looking for what don't help me. You know, Christianity is always, well, you know, that's for when we get to heaven. Well, praise God, I ain't in heaven yet, so that ain't even interesting me right now. I have no interest. We'll worry about that when we get there. I want to know what I can do to live successful here and walk and fall in life here right now. And so, in Ephesians says this. Listen, in Ephesians, the first chapter. Now, here's a very interesting, because He says that Ephesians 1st chapter verse 4, writing to the church at Ephesus, that first chapter has a lot of wonderful things said there in the beginning of it. But he says, just as he chose us in verse 4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You were chosen before the foundation. Now it says before the foundation of the earth. Before the foundation of the world, you were chosen by him for this purpose. Now, the church was chosen for this purpose, and that purpose was so you could be holy and without blame before him in love. That's what you were chosen for. But you were chosen, in other words, you were chosen, and the reason you were chosen, because you chose him. This is anybody who accepts Jesus Christ is his chosen. It's not, you know, he only had a certain group he's picking out, and only certain ones are allowed to be saved. Well, if it is, then there's a lot of scripture that's all messed up, and we're going to have to wonder how we're going to deal with that. But understand this. He knew before the foundation of the world, before this earth, the earth was ever created, he knew if you were going to accept him, his son Jesus Christ, or not. You see, the plan of redemption was already set. The plan of redemption, because look at this. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 20, 1 Peter 1 and 20 says this. He indeed was foreordained, speaking of Christ, before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. He was foreordained. Before the world was ever created, the plan of redemption had already been set. And God knew who was going to accept him and who wouldn't. He can't help it. He knows everything. He's God. You're not. See, this is hard for people to deal with, try to reason that, because people reason in their mind. You know, these things are a revelation that come to your heart. If you try to sit and think them in your mind, you'll end up, you know, probably going to some other religion. That's not what it's for. See, Christianity tries to take this God we have, and we want to have faith in him, but we want to make him our size so we can understand him. And what we do is we put him in a can, and then we can believe about that far. We become little. The whole thing, it is just amazing to me that I think the God of this universe, the God that knows everything, the plan of redemption was set before the world was ever created for any creation at all. The plan of redemption was already set by God. He knew Adam was going to fall. He had already planned to send Christ. That was already set. When Adam fell, God didn't say, "Oh my God, Gabriel, what are we going to do? Oh." That's most of the American church is God. He's trying to figure out ways to fix stuff. God already knows. He has this whole thing for us. This is our security. This is the security of faith. A God who knows everything, sees everything coming before it can ever come. Put the Holy Ghost in you to show you things to come so you can see what's to come. You should be able to see things, what's to come. Things shouldn't just up and surprise you all the time. If they do, it's because you're not listening to the Holy Ghost. He's put into you. See, he's that purpose. People don't do it. The Holy Spirit, I've said for years, he's in there to show me things to come. He'll always show me what's ahead. It's always a protection business. God's in the protection business. That's what he's in. He knows everything that's going on. From the foundation of the world, he knew everything I was going to face in life. He knew everything I was going to face. He knew it all. What's wonderful about this side is because in this side, the people in the old covenant, they didn't have this. They had prophets who would tell them things about the future, but individually they didn't know. We're in the church age, and the church age is the age of glory. Most Christians think the lull side was the time of glory. Oh, they had big, you know, the Red Sea open. And they think that. They don't realize we have the Holy Ghost in us. He's showing us things. I'm just amazed. There's things you should be seeing and knowing. There's things you should know ahead of time. Things that are coming down the road. Preparation. I've done lots of times. I just get up in my spirit. I sense, you know, when things are coming along. You know, get yourself ready. Walk in by faith. Get yourself ready for things. You know, you need to pay attention to that stuff. And people don't. They're not listening to the inside. The Holy Spirit, He shows me things to come. That's one of His jobs. If He don't do it, is He lazy, just hanging around on the inside, not doing anything? He's not doing what Jesus said He would do? He don't show me things to come. No, He don't show me. You know, that's just somebody else. You know, prophet so-and-so. No, that's the job to every believer. He's a teacher in me. He takes what belongs to Jesus and shows it to me. That's what He does. That's what it's in every believer for. That's what He's supposed to do. Is number one, use Him for it. Use Him for that. Start saying, praise God. Holy Spirit, I want to know what's coming up the road ahead. How can you prepare ahead for what you don't... You know, it's in the church. The church sits around. One side of their mouth, they say, Jesus is soon coming back. And then now the other side of their mouth, well, you never know. He could be 100 years. Two stupid statements. Two absolutely stupid statements that the world hears us say and say, they're idiots. And they're right. How can you prepare for what you don't even know is coming? You don't know if it is or not. We're supposed to get ready for Jesus' return. We're not sure when He'll ever come back. We might die and they don't come back, so I didn't have to get ready. So what the church does, they don't just get ready. Because most Christians don't believe that He is close at hand. It's because they can't see ahead. This is good preaching, folks. You get a hold of these things. You have to. You have to. There's no other way to know these things. You don't know them by me saying them. It doesn't matter what I see. I can sit here and tell you what I see. All you can do is hear what I say, but you don't see what I see till you go after to see it. I can't make you see it. That's between you and God. I can tell you what's down the road. See, that's where the prophets would sit and speak. They'd tell you, they're visionary. They see down the road. But the people, you got to get a hold of God to see the vision. You can listen to it said and never see the vision, never believe the vision, never believe what it says. Well, isn't that nice? Yeah, He sees that. But that's not for me, you know. God doesn't work in me like that, you know. I don't have visions. I don't see ahead on stuff, you know. I don't have that gift. Oh, you don't have the Holy Ghost? Probably unsaved then. Probably on your way to hell. It's like, dear God, no, He's in you. He's in you for that purpose, to guide you and lead you. He's not keeping you ignorant. Now, I want you to think about, this is one of the things I want you to think about, because we look at the greatness of our God, but I want to see, want you to understand the inferiority of Satan, how inferior he is. Because the church and a lot of believers, now today there's a lot of believers that don't even believe in Satan anymore. They don't, you know, you won't go into many churches and ever hear them talk, there is even a devil, because most things are psychology, you know. You think the right things, think happy thoughts, and, you know, do that kind of stuff. But it's understanding, we're dealing with demonic powers. But I want you to get this, because, so before the world was ever conceived, God had already planned to send Jesus Christ to redeem man. Now I want you to think about this. Because God had already set in motion, and we don't know how, it looks like to me, and I'm not going to try to figure it out either. If God knows everything and He's planned, there's no time with God, you couldn't set a date or place when He decided, when all this thing was about the foundation of the world and what He was going to do. You could put a 2 trillion years of time, and it could be right, something, you know, if we're trying to figure out so distant of what, however God did it. It was there. But you need to get this. If Lucifer had not fallen into sin at this time, which reveals he had fallen, but I want you to show his limited knowledge. Lucifer didn't know the plan. if he, when he decided that he wanted the throne of God, we'll read the scriptures, when he decided that, the plan of salvation and everything was set in motion to put him away for eternity. Before he fell, the plan was already set. So you need to understand this. Angels, Lucifer wasn't a divine being, and he's never been divine. In fact, we're going to look at scriptures. The church has revelation he doesn't have, and he only sees it now because of the church. He didn't even know it. He was limited in knowledge as a being. He had no idea before he even fell. God knew he was going to fall, had already set in motion everything for the plan of redemption, right down to the fact of the new heaven and earth, and he never even knew any of it existed or any of that was going on. Why? He wasn't God. And God didn't give him the revelation. You need to understand, we have the scriptures given us. God gave us a book with revelation. His whole purpose is to give us revelation. But you ain't going to get none unless you go after it. Seek and you'll find. The word seek there means to look for something as if it's lost. You're going to have to search for it. You're not going to turn around and just general read the Bible every once in a while. And you're going to have to go after it. If you want the revelation of scriptures, you're going to have to go after these things and seek, and so you'll find. Go after them, and the Holy Ghost will reveal things. But we have been given, there's revelation that we need to understand. Lucifer didn't have. If he would have known this thing, he would have been completely stupid. Let's look over Isaiah, in Isaiah the 14th chapter. We'll go back and look concerning what Lucifer said. Lucifer said something here, and we want to, we'll look at this. I hope this is all making sense to you, isn't it? Isaiah 14. This speaks of Lucifer. It speaks about his fall. We're going to also, there's some other scriptures we'll look at later on as we go into this teaching concerning these things, because we want to see this. We're dealing with creation because we're going to deal with the one thing is we do know. Lucifer fell before the creation as we know. He fell before that. He didn't fall afterwards when the creation and end up down the garden. He was already here when God created. He was already here. Now, we want to look at something. In verse 12 it says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations." Now, I want you to think about this. These statements here are not statements made in our creation and the nations in our creation. He didn't fall during our creation. These statements cannot be made speaking of what happens here on this earth as we know it. Can't be possible. It cannot have taken place during our creation. These nations cannot be. He's not talking about nations here. He's talking about the nations he corrupted when he fell. Well, he fell before our creation ever existed. He was already fallen. He was a fallen being. He ended up he was in the garden. He'd already fallen. He said, "Listen, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God." So he had a throne. He had a place and a position of authority that was given to him. As we look at this, the scriptures aren't very clear, but we can know this. It was tied to this earth that was here. It was tied to this because his throne had to do to something with this, because this is where he was cast down to. Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall as lightning." When God chucked him out of heaven, he placed him here on the earth. So he must have had some kind of authority here. His authority and rule must have been here. Some kind of whatever he had. The Bible's not real clear about that. But we know that there was something here because he ended up here. And this is the place, and we go in all the universe, the Bible teaches us that the demons and evil spirits and all that under his kingdom are all here around this planet Earth. They're here. They're not out on Mars. They're not out in Jupiter somewhere. They're here. So this place had something to do with what God, and he fell. So that it's a fallen kingdom. But we see this. For he said, I will ascend into the heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Now, I want to understand this. Lucifer's ignorance. When Lucifer decided he was going to exalt his throne, the plan of redemption had already been set in motion. All that God had planned from the beginning had already been set. The redemption of man, Satan is going to be bound, Lucifer is going to end up in the lake of fire for eternity. All of that had already been set. He didn't know. He thought he was bright. He had the arrogance to think he was in the class of God, and he didn't have any idea how little he knew. Do you have any idea how little you know? No, but the whole thing of it is, we need to understand this. God's not trying to hide from us. But God ain't, so we need to understand this. No matter what his throne was and what he was given, he didn't know God had things. And this is one of the things we need to know when we get to heaven. That's why people think we get to heaven, we're just going to know everything. Get a life. You know, you're going to have to learn things, and you're going to have to, it's just like that with his angels. So in other words, God had planned redemption. This man, this angel, he thought he was a big deal. He had been given some authority. He had rule over something. And we'll go on later on to find out some things about him, what he was. The scripture tells us some things. And we're going to look at. But we find here, he thought he could take the place of God. And he didn't know his doom had already been set before he fell. God knew what he was going to do. Just like us, he knew we were going to accept Christ. God knew. He can't help but know it. He knows everything. God knows it all. See, you can get over on the negative side on that thing. Oh, man, God knows it all. You know, I look at it from the standpoint, this is phenomenal. Because he knows. He knows what I'm facing, what I'm going through. He knows. Praise God. It makes him steadfast. He's unchangeable. That's the glorious thing about it. You have no basis of faith if God's changeable. You have no basis of faith whatsoever. How could you have a basis of faith if he changed? He could change what he's going to do and what you were believing for. Out the window. God's unchangeable. Hallelujah. And God's a know-it-all. Praise God. Now just think of that. And God the Holy Spirit has been put in us. God gave us his know-it-all spirit to live in us that knows everything from beginning to end. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto Jesus. All the rule of heaven, earth, and under the earth have been placed in the hands of Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit in us to take what Jesus knows, what all is involved in the Godhead, knows it, and the Holy Spirit's put in us to reveal it to us. This is why the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. We're not trying to get it. He lives in us. The mind of Christ is the Holy Ghost. He lives in me. I have the mind of Christ. I'm not trying to get it. All I have to do is come in contact. It's you know, like I have access cards. I can go to an access machine and get money out of the bank and all that kind of stuff. That's what the Holy Ghost is. You access him. What do you need to know? What do you need to understand? Well, whatever it is, you're allowed to ask. Whatever it is you want revealed to you, he'll reveal things to you. That's what he's there for. But if you don't access him, you don't know. You won't find out. Now, Jesus did make it easier. Jesus put teachers in the church and ministers who are supposed to take the word and explain it. I don't know what some of them are doing today. But anyhow, they are there for that purpose. And this is one of the things. Jesus said you're not going to go any further than your teacher. So you don't ever follow a teacher who isn't learning. If a teacher thinks he's arrived, don't you spend 10 minutes with him. You don't spend no time there. Nobody's arrived. Because you can never grow past the person that you sit under to listen to. You can't grow past them. You know? You're going to have to go find another teacher. Somebody will take you further. That's why it's like you need to. If you want to, like people say, I would like to teach. I want to, you know, teach. Well, it's a lifetime of learning. I have not been out of school yet since I got born again, and I will never leave school. I will always be schooled and taught. If you think you're going to come to a place that you don't have to sit down, take time to learn, and everything like that, you know, just might as well forget it as a Christian. You ain't going nowhere. It ain't going to happen. You have to do that. It's part of the growing process. I just decided a long time ago that I didn't want to get to heaven being stupid. And God's saying, who's this guy? Who's he? What's your name? You know what? This is the way to show up. And get there, it's like Jesse Duplantis was heaven. He said a guy showed up in heaven while he was there. And the guy was all excited because he said, I made it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the sadness of dying and not knowing? See, people give so much over in the flesh. Christians get so much over in the flesh, they aren't in contact with their inner man. Loads of Christians die. They're unsure because they're living out of their mind, out of their head, and they're all these things going on. They listen to their heart. And hallelujah. Don't go there. Don't live in that place. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to go on to do some more teaching in this area. I can't go in tonight, but next week we'll go in looking at some things. We'll start off in teaching concerning the revelation that's been given the church, and really when we look at Lucifer, Lucifer found some things out after the fact. He never realized what was going to take place concerning Christ and his redemption. He didn't realize what was going to happen to him. He didn't know. He had a fall in things, but he basically believed that he was going to exist eternally in the condition and things that he was in. And when redemption came through Christ, it changed it, and he didn't know it was going to change. He had no idea. That's why the scripture says he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. He'd have never done it. He didn't know how it was going to turn out. And you need to understand this. The church has placed demons, devils, and evil spirits on a high plane. And we don't realize how stupid they are. We don't realize their ignorance. We don't realize what they don't know. We think they know everything. The devil don't know everything. The devil can't read my thoughts. He can't read my thoughts. He ain't God. He can try to control my thoughts, try to bring things to me, but he doesn't know my thoughts. See, we equate to him. We equate to him godly attributes he doesn't have. We made a god out of him. We've treated him like he was some kind of royalty when he wasn't royalty at all. We don't realize how fallible he is and how messed up he is and his limit. Understand this. He's in darkness. The Bible teaches this. God's light or revelation does not come to one in darkness. He doesn't get revelation from God. He can't. He's in darkness. He can't get revelation. We can gain in revelation and understand things of light he'll never understand or ever know. We can walk in things he'll never understand and know, because why? He's in darkness. He can't know them. It's not revealed to him. See, if we start to understand that, his inferiority, because sir, he doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to think he's a big deal. Why? Because he walks around as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He just roars. And most people are afraid of the roar. And they've been taught, whoa, watch your devil, you know. Oh, man, you know, the devil. He's going to try to get you. He's a defeated foe. I don't try to defeat Satan. Satan's already defeated. I don't have to beat him up. In the name of Jesus, he's got to bow. And if we start dealing with things the way the scripture teaches, rather than religious ideas and what people say about stuff, we realize he's limited. When you look at these things and realize his inferiority, this poor guy, his demise was set before the foundation of the world, and this idiot thought he was going to be God and take over the throne. My. He's pretty stupid, isn't he? But he thought he was smart. You always find that's what happens. People get into darkness, and they always think they're smart. And they don't realize what's going to happen to them and what's going to take place. And that's why you want to walk in light. You walk in the light. Light is where revelation always comes. That's the place you can see. You get into darkness, people get out of fellowship with God. they get into darkness. Revelation stops. Next thing you know, they're all stumbled up. The devil got them over in a trap somewhere. He comes along, gets them to do something. He starts playing games with them. Hey, he's the master of the darkness. He's the master of that place over there outside of the light. And when you get over in darkness, he'll be talking to you. He'll be saying stuff to your mind. Because when you get into darkness, what you do is you're starting to now, you just live by your senses. And oh man, he'll play with your senses. He will play with your senses. He'll play with your, you know, feelings. What you see is going on. The things that people get into, you know. He'll get you over. Well, you know, this person don't like you. They don't like you. This person doesn't. This, that. He'll start getting you over, getting you divided from other people. He'll start to do that, get you away. He'll start to get you away from everybody that's ever spiritual, you know. He'll start to move you away from people and that stuff. Get you away. Get you over by yourself. That's what he does. Darkness will always lead that. Darkness always leads people to get over into by themselves and get over in their own things and getting over. Then they start looking to people who will sympathize with them. That's what he wants you to do. Get over with people who sympathize. You poor thing, you got this problem. No one understands you. You just have it so bad. And nobody understands. It's a great tactic. Works wonderfully to get you over, get you isolated. I can't get help. That's where darkness comes in. And see, you need to stay away from that because he'll come along, he'll bring those things to you. Don't let him carry you to those places. Satan's power is through deception. He comes along and deceives you into believing things that are not true. That's what he does. That's his deception. He gets you to believe things that aren't true. He convinces you things that aren't so. That's what he does. He doesn't, you know, people that fall into his traps, they don't fall in because his great power overtakes them. It always starts, the number one place that Satan always will come to an individual, every time, the mind, he'll come and bring thoughts. He'll bring thoughts to you that aren't right. He'll bring thoughts to you. He'll bring thoughts to you that depress you, thoughts that make, you start thinking wrong things, you start getting over. That's exactly how he starts every time. It's never different. It's never different. He comes along and he starts doing that. You know, you're walking along and if you stumble, he'll do everything he can to make you fall down forever. He'll come along, yeah, you know. Yeah, God will forgive you, but he'll probably never be able to use you again. Or something, you know. But thoughts will come, and that's what he does. He cripples people with thoughts. He brings thoughts and he'll keep continuing to do it. Till after a while, he wants to come to the place where you become obsessed with his thinking. When you're obsessed with his thinking, now he'll control your mind and your thoughts. He'll control what you think. You don't want to go there. See, some people, this is what happens with people in depression. They get over into things. They get over where their thoughts are being controlled. They have yielded so much to certain ways of thinking, bad thinking, thinking about evil stuff, thinking about themselves, whatever it is. They get over thinking about the problems all the time. He'll get them over looking at. And what happens? They get obsessed with that. They get obsessed with that way of thinking. You don't want to go to that place. You don't want to go to that place and let him get a hold of you in that area. You need to recognize, you know, when wrong thinking, when thoughts and stuff come that bring depression and that kind of stuff, you need to identify what that is and stop it right away. Bring a halt to it. Say, I refuse in the name of Jesus to think these thoughts. They're wrong. They're a lie. You've got to do that. If you don't use your voice, his voice will control you. You will not sit in silence and stop this stuff. You won't sit in silence and do it. Who's ever got the voice is going to be controlling the thing. You better have the voice. You better be the one that has it. And this is one thing, that's why faith, see, we start making sense, you know, like saying what the word says. I refuse to think that way. I'm not going to think like that. I refuse to believe. The Bible says this about me, that's what's true. I refuse to believe. I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to let those evil thoughts concerning, you know, somebody come into my mind. I'm not going to let that come. I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sit and think of what they did. I don't care what they did. I'm going to forgive them. Praise God. I don't care. Devil say, they're out to get you. So what? They're out to get you. Praise God. I forgive them in the name of Jesus. You got to learn to do that because those voices will come to you. The devil will come to you and he'll start talking to you. And he'll, yeah, you know this. And he'll try to make you, he wants to get you over into hatred. He'll want to get you over where you're looking at them. What'd they do? Look what they did. And many people, many Christians today are obsessed with demonic thinking. They're obsessed with it. It controls them. And they deal with the areas of faith. Their faith don't work. That's because their mouth is controlled by those thoughts that the devil brought. They will not change their voice. Now, they can change their voice and they can overcome. But as long as they listen to those voices and say what those voices and think what those voices say, they're going to follow them. They'll follow them. Don't do that. Don't let it follow. Satan doesn't use any kind of real great power to do something. He brings thought to you. Hallelujah. Don't allow him to do that in your life. Stand against it. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You can't resist the devil and not draw near to God. Impossible. You draw close to God. How you do that? His Word. You draw close to the Word. Saying what the Word says. Draw close to God and he draws near to you. God's, in another way, God don't force himself on you. You're going to have to go to him. He's not going to come and overtake you if you don't want, you know, God, I'm going to travel and I'm going to just do what I want. You come and help me. Don't work that way. We resist the devil, we draw near to God. That's what we do. And it works. It'll work. You'll overcome if you do those things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we'll end there. Father, I want to just thank you tonight. Lord God, I love your Word. Lord God, because your Word is the life giver. Hallelujah. And Lord God, that you just didn't put words on the page, but we have the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. Lord, Father, I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful for the life that's in the Word, and that Word is working mightily in us. And Father, we're just thankful, Lord God. We're overcoming. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Father God, for teaching us, instructing us in these things. So Lord God, we can walk in the place that you have called us to in this time, in this hour, Lord God. Lord, the victorious church, the glorious church, Lord God, stepping up above, Lord God, we have walked before and even others had walked. We thank God for where people were before, but Lord, in these last days, you have a plan for something much greater. And Lord God, we're not going to go there in our abilities, but Lord God, we're trusting in your ability working in us and taking us to the place that you want us to walk in. And Lord God, we know that the good work that you started in us, you will bring it to completion. In Jesus' name, amen.